If Pope Francis has a recurring theme of the past 12 months, it is the theme of being rigid is bad. Rigid is the hot word. And today is the feast of Saint Paul in the traditional calendar. In the Novus Ordo calendar, today is the feast of the holy martyrs of Rome. But if you attend the traditional Latin Mass, yesterday was the feast of Saint Peter and Paul, and today is the commemoration of Paul. So Paul gets a little bonus today. So I thought it'd be appropriate for us to talk about Saint Paul and the Catholic perspective on Paul. I wrote a book on it, Catholic Perspective on Paul. We're going to talk today about the word tradition and about the word rigid. Saint Paul himself uses the word tradition four times. Two times he uses the word tradition in a bad way, disapproving of traditions. We'll see what he means. Two other times he uses the word tradition in a good way, approving tradition. So we're going to see what he says about tradition. And then this quote, I'll put it on the screen for you, from Pope Francis, came out yesterday. He says on the feast of St. Peter and Paul, quote, "Paul was freed from the religious zeal that made him fierce in upholding the traditions he had received. The formal observation of religion and the sword wielding of defense of tradition made him rigid." End quote. Now, this kind of is following up from a statement that he made just a couple weeks ago. Pope Francis, in a group with Italian seminarians, said, quote, "Clericalism is a perversion of the priesthood. It is a perversion, and rigidity is one of the manifestations." I'm going to come back to this quote because rigidity and seminarians and priests is something very much on the mind of Pope Francis, and really he's referring to traditionally minded seminarians and traditionally minded priests. Before we do all that, we are going to pray together with a traditional prayer. It's the prayer that was handed down in tradition by our Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles and placed in sacred scripture. It is the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, Oremus. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Sancte Paule, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, as we get started here and welcoming everyone to this live podcast, please, if you haven't already, give it a thumbs up, like, and grow the audience. The most important thing you can do for me is share this video on Facebook or Twitter. So hit the share button, which is on the right side of the screen, or if you're in the live chat, you have to X out the live chat real quick, share it, and then come back in. And if you're new, please subscribe. You can do that also by hitting the subscribe button and the bell in the right corner. And when you hit the bell, you'll be notified. If you are on a tablet or phone, turn your YouTube notifications on and you'll be notified when we go live. Also, I will be giving away today this beautiful family heirloom version of the Douay Rheims Holy Bible. It won't be in this show, it'll be in a show after this independent show because I got to get my daughters. They're going to pick the winner. For everybody who supports the show via Patreon at patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. Okay, so in June of this year, June 10th, as I said, Pope Francis, speaking with seminarians, said clericalism is a perversion of the priesthood. It is a perversion, and rigidity is one of the manifestations. So clericalism is bad. Clericalism is the idea, ultimately, that the church is the clergy and the clergy is the church. So sometimes you'll say people will say, well, I'm trying to think of an example. I hear people say this kind of stuff where they'll say, well, that's not the church. And they're referring to that's not the clergy, that's not the hierarchy. And in some older writings as well, and in secular writings as well, when they use the word church, you'll see as you're reading through the article, they'll be saying like Vatican, Holy See, Pope, Church says, and they're using them all interchangeable. That's really clericalism. The clergy is the church and the church is clergy. It's reducing the people of God to the priesthood. Now, Pope Francis doesn't like that. And he says, if someone is rigid, that's the manifestation that that person is a clericalist. He then goes on to say, quote, when I find a rigid seminarian or young priest, I say something bad is happening to this one on the inside. Behind every rigidity, there is a serious problem because rigidity lacks humanity, end quote. Now, I have taught seminarians. I've done it in Texas. I taught seminarians here. I've also taught seminarians in summer programs several times, three times in Rome itself. I've spent a lot of time with seminarians, eating lunch, teaching classes, answering questions, even touring around Rome, showing seminarians different churches, relics, and whatnot. So I think I know seminarians more than the normal person. And seminarians struggle with a lot of things. I mean, one of the things that I hear repeatedly from conservative seminarians, these are diocesan seminarians who come to Rome to study or are working their way up towards diaconate and then priesthood, is they have to keep a low profile. If they say that they love the rosary, they love the traditional Latin mass, if they say, I'm going to buy a maniple to go with my vestment set, with my chasuble, those kind of things trigger negative responses from the seminary faculty. And they get in trouble. In fact, they have a little, my phone, emergency, calling 911. What in the world? Sorry about that. They have a little saying, don't holla until you get your collar, meaning the Roman collar. That's bad. I always tell them, this is not good. You can't hide the truth in order to achieve something because ultimately you're going to get that collar. And the pattern is like this. Well, I won't say anything traditional or orthodox until I won't holla until I get my collar, until I'm a priest. And then when they're a priest, like, well, I'm just a vicar. So I won't do anything. I won't say anything or do anything traditional until I'm actually a pastor. And then they become a pastor and say, well, I won't do anything traditional or orthodox until I'm a Monsignor. And then they say, well, I won't do that until I get a job in the chancery or I get go to Rome to get an advanced degree. And then they say, well, I won't do anything traditional or orthodox until I'm a rector of a seminary or a bishop. And then they say, well, I won't do anything traditional or orthodox until I'm a cardinal, right? And it just goes and it goes and it goes. This is the problem with don't holla until you have your collar. Now, Pope Francis, with all these problems in the church, primarily sexual immorality in seminaries, his main concern is finding these rigid seminarians. And he's described what these rigid seminarians look like. They wear cassocks, the long cassock. They wear the Saturno hat. They buy Berettas. They're interested in tradition. Now, I'm a little concerned about that too, because I've seen some seminarians who are all about the lace and the costume and not about the Orthodox deposit of faith. As we're going to see in St. Paul today, you have to have the true faith. The lace, the Berettas, the Saturnos, all that stuff, there's a place for it. But ultimately, what we need is the one true faith, sacred tradition, sacred scripture. Now, right off the coattails of this statement by Pope Francis about how he's worried about seminarians and young priests being rigid, we also had this draft of a document going around Italy talking about rolling back or modifying Summorum Pontificum, getting rid of the traditional Latin Mass. Why? Because these seminarians and young priests are rigid. They want to say this old, rigid Mass. And that's got to stop. So Pope Francis comes out with this quotable St. Paul thing yesterday, which got tweeted all around, about how Paul himself was sort of a rigid young man. He was consumed with Pharisaical Judaism to the point where he picked up the sword and wanted to kill baptized Christians. But he had a conversion. And if you look at the quote here, he says that Paul was freed from the religious zeal that made him fierce in upholding the traditions he had received. The idea here is, once you have a conversion, you lose the zeal to defend traditions. So it's playing into this meme or this rhetoric of Pope Francis. Now, what does Paul himself say about traditions? As I said in the beginning, there is good tradition and there is bad tradition. And Paul speaks of it four times. Two times bad, two times good. Now, the first example is from Galatians chapter 1, which, by the way, in the traditional Latin Mass today is the epistle. So it's appropriate. Galatians 1:14, it's on the screen there at the top. Paul says, "And I made progress in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous for the traditions of my father." Now, Pope Francis is obviously echoing this lesson. Here, the traditions of my fathers refer to what? The Pharisaical Judaic rules, regulations, and customs. Christ our Lord taught that by the first century, they were already adding to traditions. Traditions that were never given by Moses, and Christ rebukes them for it. Here, the word traditions of my father is used in a negative context. Second one is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Quote, "Beware lest any man cheat you by philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ." Here in Colossians, he's saying there are two things that could entrap you. One is Gentile philosophy, Gentile religion, which he calls vain deceit. And the other is the tradition of men and the elements of the world, which could also refer to Gentile idolatry, Gentile philosophy. But also, as we see in Galatians, he used these same words in Greek to refer, and also in Romans, to refer to the elementary creation, the angelic world, the stars, the moon, the sun, and then by expansion, the seasons, the new moons, and the Jewish festivals. He says, those traditions are no good, only according to Christ. So here, two examples of tradition are bad. Now, I'm a traditional Catholic. We traditional Catholics have to accept that tradition qua tradition is not necessarily always good. There are bad traditions, as we see right here. Paul's condemning them. There are also good traditions. What's the difference? Bad traditions come from false religions, false philosophies, and are made up by human persons with no ecclesiastical authority. Good traditions come from where? God. They come from Christ. They come from the apostles. And let's see what Paul says about that. So now we move on to the two verses on good tradition. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Paul says, quote, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have learned, whether by word or by our epistles." Two things to note here. He says that you must stand fast and hold the traditions. Stand fast, stand firm, hold the traditions. He doesn't say, the traditions are suggestions. You can be lax about the traditions. Take some traditions, take other traditions. No, stand fast and hold. I even see this as rigidly hold to the traditions. If someone says to you, don't be so rigid about these traditions at Paul. No, Paul says, stand fast and hold the traditions. And then this is a great verse for all of you that have Protestant friends. Your Protestant friends following Martin Luther say, all authority is sola scriptura, by scripture alone, sola scriptura. Paul here says, hold the traditions, whether by word or epistle. Tradition by word is called sacred tradition. Tradition by epistle is called sacred scripture. And the Council of Trent says our authority comes from scripture and tradition. So St. Paul is perfectly in line with the Council of Trent. Great verse. You got to know it. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. By the way, in the back of this book, Catholic Perspective on Paul, I have a little cheat sheet that goes through all the Catholic doctrines as found in St. Paul. And if you wanted to look up scripture and tradition, that's what you'd find in the back of the book for that doctrine. And then the fourth example of tradition from St. Paul is 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Quote, Paul says, and we charge you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother walking disorderly and not according to the traditions which they have received of us. If anyone, Paul says, anyone is disorderly, disordered, and not following the tradition that comes from Jesus through the apostles to us in 2021, anyone, he says, we charge you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves. That's not where you're supposed to be. This is one reason why I say, find a traditional parish. Find a traditional priest. If you're in a situation, I hear from y'all every day, you wouldn't believe that my priest said, and it's just this horrible gobbledygook of heresy, you have to withdraw yourself from those that are walking disorderly and not according to the tradition. Seems pretty clear here that Paul in 2 Thessalonians wants you to, three things, stand fast with tradition, hold the traditions, and then withdraw from anyone who does not follow the tradition which you have received from Paul. That's it. That's it. Now, people who want to follow the traditions, whether it's on sexual morality, LMNOP, holy matrimony, who can receive communion, who cannot receive communion, traditional baptism, traditional mass, traditional extreme unction, etc., those of us who want to hold to that should not be labeled as clericalist or as rigid or, as Pope Francis says, when I find a rigid seminarian young priest, I say something bad is happening to this one on the inside. So Pope Francis is going to say there's something wrong with you on the inside because of a perceived, according to him, rigidity. Honestly, I'm going to take these off the screen. I am a little concerned by this, that he would take the transition of Rabbi Saul into Apostle Paul and then make that a paradigm that he then places on the church to denigrate those who want to hold fast to the traditions of Jesus Christ and the apostles. What do? We pray. People always say, what do we do now? Do we sign the petitions? We have to pray. We have to ask St. Paul to pray for us. And you'll remember in Galatians, Paul says that he resisted Peter to his face. You'll hear people say, just if you are not submitting to every single tweet that Pope Francis puts out in every single Wednesday audience and every single book and every single interview of Pope Francis. You're a bad Catholic. You're a schismatic. What's wrong with you? You're in schism. You're in mortal sin. Today, Saint Paul resisted. He recognized Peter, and he resisted Peter. It's the recognize and resist model. It's valid. It's in the Bible. Should we be careful? Yes. Should we be fearful? Yes. We do not want to go against lawful authority established by Jesus Christ. And yet, if we find disorder and those not walking according to the tradition, we can recognize their office, but we can also resist. We cannot go into heresy. We cannot go into sin. We can love. We can obey. We can pray for. But we cannot submit to sin and to heresy. That's the recognize and resist. And who's the patron saint of recognize and resist? Saint Paul. May Saint Paul pray for us. All right, friends, on this feast of Saint Paul, make sure you're praying the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary every day, you're not on the team. And read the Bible every day. I'll be back later today, maybe in a couple hours. I'll be giving away this beautiful Dewey Rames Bible. Read one chapter of the Bible every single day or listen to it. If you want to listen to the Bible, I've got a way for you to do that. Go to patreon.com. All supporters of the show, I send you files of the Dewey Rames Bible read in English. You can get those patreon.com/DR Taylor Marshall. Thanks for watching. We're going to say our Hail Mary and pray before we do. If you like the show, please like it, please share it, and please subscribe. All right, let us pray. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, or pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. And for all the good that God has given us, Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Sancte Paule, ora pro nobis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, pray the rosary, get a traditional Latin Mass, go to confession, go to Eucharistic adoration, embrace the traditional piety of the Church, and get to know sacred tradition and sacred scripture. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, so go out there and be salty. God bless, Godspeed, St. Paul, pray for us.